Tonight we talk about health revelations from heaven and earth. We talk with someone who was hit and run, had a near-death experience. In a moment, Tommy Rosa joins us on Coast to Coast AM. You don't want to miss this. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. You're going to love the next couple hours. Tommy Rosa is a spiritual counselor who helps people conquer their fear of death. He's also the founder of the Unicorn Foundation in Stuart, Florida. Now, that happens to be a not-for-profit organization that will help educational endeavors and community outreach programs, too. Now, back in 1999, he was the victim of a hit-and-run accident, which left him in a coma for several weeks. During this time, he had a near-death experience where he was taken to heaven, met a master teacher. Now, the teacher imparted some revelations that became his foundation, and he's going to teach them to us as well. Looking forward to this. Tommy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, George, for having me on.
My pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Years of listening to you. I couldn't sleep.
Well, good. We're going to keep you awake tonight, too.
That's okay.
Tell me about the accident. What happened?
Well, it was one normal day. I finished work as a plumber. And I usually used to go down to the store to get something I was missing, a loaf of bread or milk or something. And that night, I took the walk. It's like a 10-minute walk. And I have to make just one crossing across the street. And that day, I didn't make it. I got ran over by a car going 40 miles an hour.
Oh, my God.
And I got knocked 28 feet, hurtled in the air, and had 9 fractured vertebrae, 7 herniated discs, a fractured skull, 9 broken ribs, a fractured hip, and a pelvic. And I was intubated, and I was dead at 40 years old. They shocked me back, and I was in a coma for almost 3 weeks. And during that time, I went to heaven. And my trip to heaven starts off with going through this beautiful white light, face first, with my arms extended behind me, going like aside. You have those time-lapse photography, how it looks so beautiful going through?
Yeah.
And it was white, pink, and some blues, and a consistent hum, like an ohm sound, which was very relaxing and peaceful, and also a smell of like frankincense oils.
Did you know you were dead?
No.
Okay.
I was so peaceful, and so out of everything I could think of, it was just nothing I could think of, but there was a light going through the light. And it was so peaceful that I really didn't know if I was alive or dead. I really didn't even care. So all of a sudden, at the end of this 30, 40 minutes, it feels like I'm going through this tunnel of light. I end up on my back looking up in a room, and there's a beautiful chandelier and some beautiful woodworking and a marble floor I was laying on. And I can't move a muscle. I'm paralyzed. And during this time, I still didn't feel nervous or upset or frightened. I just stood there and waited till I could move. And time went on, I could move, and I stood up. And this is when I really realized that I wasn't in my body anymore, because I stood up and I didn't touch the floor. I was several inches off the floor.
You're probably going, oh, what's happening here?
I'm saying to myself, this is not normal. So I'm looking at my body. It looks normal, but I feel so light. So I take my right arm and I go over and touch my left arm. And my left arm, I see it, but it's not there. I said to myself, am I in the spirit form? And I start getting a little worried, but then all of a sudden I feel calm. And I look in the distance, and there's this big, beautiful ball of white light coming at me. And it feels like love. And I said, wow, what is this?
And in reality, too, you're still in your coma state, right?
Yes. I don't feel my real body at all. I'm just in this coma state. And as this beautiful white light comes closer and closer, I can make it out as a man. And as he gets closer, I see he has brown hair, shoulder length, a 3-week-old beard, a halo, and this beautiful white robe that's 4 inches off the ground. And I see his bare feet, and he's hovering also. I said, what's this? A bunch of hoverers here now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, this is not normal. Next thing that happens, I'm looking at him, and his eyes are emanating so much love that they're brown eyes, but like white light is coming out of them. And then minutes later, he looks at me, I look at him, and he goes, hello, Tommy. And I go, oh, my God, this guy knows my name. But what really got me upset was and scared was he wasn't speaking through his mouth. He was speaking through his brain.
Through his brain. You were just picking it up, yeah. And did you think at any point here, Tommy, that you were dreaming?
You know, I thought I was dreaming at that point when he was telepathically speaking to me. But then the next thing, I asked him, why am I here? And he says to me, you're here to learn about love, life, and health. And my answer back to him was, why me? And he said to me, why not you?
Why not?
Yeah. And he says, we're here to perform an exercise. And I'm here to teach you different things about life. And I was afraid to ask questions because the moment I was there, it was so peaceful and beautiful that I didn't want to ruin the experience. So I listened to everything he said to me. And the first thing he says to me, I want to let you understand that there's one thing you should learn that is so important. And everyone you meet, you should tell them this, he called it affirmation or revelation, he called it. And I said, what is it? He says, that each and every one of us are all connected. We're connected to God, to ourselves, and to each other. And what one person can think that's in the room with you can affect the other person too. So a positive thought brings positive actions to other people. And he says to me that if every person was positive, the whole world would be positive, which I thought was really interesting because, first of all, I'm a plumber. I know nothing about medical at all. And he's given me information about how everyone's connected to God and spirit and how it's imprinted through the soul. And I'm wondering, wow, all this stuff I really don't know about, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And then from there, he takes me out to this beautiful ocean. And you travel just by light. In 1 second, you're in light and you're in the place you want to be almost instantly.
Just with a thought, just a thought would do that.
Just a thought. Now, what you also tell me is a thought is an action, which is pretty amazing to understand that. And I practice with different types of scenarios to see if it really works. And it does work.
Were you in any special place at this point?
I'm in this beautiful place right now. I go through these double doors, he opens up, and I go out into this beautiful place with rolling hills, with flowers everywhere, and a beautiful sky with rainbows, pink, blue skies, with a little bit of a tint of white, splashes of white. And I'm just in awe of this beauty. I've never seen such colors like this in my life. And then all of a sudden, we're in the ocean. And now in the ocean, I'm treading water, and he's standing on the water. And I'm looking at this beautiful place, which you can see the reefs down below, the dolphins, the whales, the stingrays, all the fish. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
The water is so blue and crystal clean that you can't stop looking at it. Then all of a sudden, I look to ask him a question, and he's gone. I said, oh, my God, I just got here, and this guy left me already. Where the hell am I? And I'm just treading water. And I said, oh, look, there's some boats coming in the distance. And I says, well, I remember that story I heard when I was younger that the fellow that died and went to heaven, he got there and God said to him, listen, I sent you help. You didn't take it. He says, you didn't come for me. He says, hey, silly, I sent you the boats. You didn't take the boats.
The boat was going to get you to heaven.
Right. So it gets you from dying. So I said to myself, I'm taking the boat. So as it gets closer and closer, they were in boats. They were great white sharks. And they start circling me to eat me. And I'm panicking. And then there's a voice in my head from my teacher. He says, remember, have no fear.
This is now beginning to become a nightmare.
Yes. And I'm pulsating my heart out of my chest. And he says to me, remember, have no fear. So I said to him back a little smart answer. I says, easy for you to say. You're not even here. So I closed my eyes again, and I thought about that beautiful white light I came through with that peace and calming effect. And then minutes later, opened my eyes, and all the sharks were gone. And then my teacher appeared again, standing on the water, and he said to me, remember this. This is one of the most important lessons you're going to learn today, that anything you're afraid of in life, you will attract it to yourself. whatever it may be, if it's afraid of having poverty or consciousness of not having someone loving you,
then that's what you'll have.
Excuse me?
Then that's what you'll have. You bring it up upon yourself, don't you?
Yes, yes. And I said, really? He said, you were never afraid of the sharks. They never would have came to you. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
He says, if you're afraid of not being healthy, you will not be healthy. And I said, wow. Every time I was afraid of something, it seemed did the.
That's an interesting perspective. If you're afraid of being poor, you'll be poor.
Yeah, if you think about it, you say, wow, that does happen, doesn't it?
So in this environment you were in, Tommy, how did you come back? Did they send you back? Did you want to come back?
So with the question that you just said is really interesting. Towards the end of my journey, I ask him who he is. And he tells me who he is. And then I ask him, what does God look like? And he takes his right hand above him, and he says, this is what God looks like, 1/1,000,000,000 of a billion. I don't know what that meant, but it was a small factor of it. And then it starts going in all different colors, blue, green, orange, and it's going 360 degrees. And as it goes more and more, I start to, like, melt into my body with love. And I'm starting to cry. I'm on my knees. And then all of a sudden, he touches my head, and I'm back going backwards in the light, going back to my body.
Wow.
And I wake up in the bed in the hospital, and a woman telling me that I was in an accident.
And in a coma for how long?
I was in for almost 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Jeez. So I assume they're feeding you intravenously. You've got tubes all over the place, probably.
Yeah, I have tubes. I'm intubated, too, because I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I collapsed my lung.
Did you panic when you wake up?
Yeah, I was. Just,
that's a horrible feeling, isn't it?
It was really horrible. And then what I woke up to was they were cleaning out my esophagus with a suction line. So that really woke me up.
Oh, that gags you. I bet you wanted to go back.
Oh, I said, what am I doing back to this hell? I want to go back where I was. So then my brother told me how my head was 3 times the size. And I looked at my arms, and they were like 3 times the size.
Oh, my God.
I was completely swollen.
Everything was broken on you.
Yeah, and they had shocked me back twice. And they had called my family and said, you better get here tonight because he's not going to make it. And luckily, I made it.
Well, you had already been to the other side.
Yes, and when I woke up, the doctor says to me, you know, you're not going to be able to walk for a while, maybe a year or two. I said, listen, I'm walking out of here.
No.
Coming back from heaven.
You're all chopped up and you're going to walk out?
Yeah, that's what I said. So 3 weeks later, I walked out, but he brought the wheelchair and I said, I'm not taking it because once I get into that wheelchair, I might never get out. So
you're supposed to get wheeled out.
I know, but it took me an hour and a half to leave because I wouldn't go in the wheelchair.
Huh.
I had 2 fractured clavicles, and here I am leaning up against the wall with a walker.
You mean it literally took you an hour and a half to walk out,
out of the hospital
because you were all broken up?
Yep. And also, I was out of breath because I had a lung issue.
Oh, my God.
Because of being collapsed. So I didn't have enough breathing abilities to do it. So I get out, and I can't walk without a walker because if I walk without a walker, I fall. And I hit myself on the floor because
right, of course.
I had a fractured skull on the right, so my left leg would like fall out if I walked without the walker.
So you needed it. You needed it for balance.
Because the gait was off because of the fracture. So it was really interesting. But in heaven, I didn't want to leave. And you are on Earth. Your body feels so light. It looks beautiful.
And you don't think of the loved ones or anything that you've left behind, do you?
I wasn't thinking about anyone I left behind at that point. I was just so entrenched with the moment that I really wasn't worried about anything but what I was seeing and taking in because of the beauty.
As you weigh, Tommy, coming back to Earth and life or staying where you were today, which would you prefer?
Well, I'll tell you an honest opinion. When I came back, I really didn't have anything to live for. And that's why in the book you'll see when I had a downfall. because I really didn't want to stay here anymore. I wanted to go back to heaven.
You weren't thinking about suicide, were you?
No, no. Just that I wasn't taking care of my all the revelations I learned. I stopped doing it. I gained 100 pounds.
Wow.
And I didn't really worry about things anymore. Because once you're there, you know when you die what you're going to come to experience.
You did everything opposite they told you to do.
Yes. And that's when I met Dr. Sinatra.
Who's Dr. Sinatra?
Yes.
Who's he?
Now, Dr. Sinatra was on a TV show one day, and my wife's too intuitive also.
This a real person or somebody that was in heaven?
No, a real person.
Okay.
And he was on the TV screen, and I'm suffering from a heart issue, and all these doctors are telling me I need a heart transplant. And I'm telling them I'm not getting a heart transplant because I'd rather go back to heaven.
My God.
So once again, they think I'm crazy. So I used the revelations that I learned. I went back to doing it because now I was in love and I had a reason to stay here. And I started getting better. And then when I met Dr. Sinatra on the TV show, my wife says, you're going to become friends with you and you're going to be your doctor.
Is there any relationship to Frank?
He might be distant.
Yeah, there's not too many Sinatras, that's for
sure.
No,
there isn't. So I see him on the TV show, and she says, you're going to be good friends. And I go to a conference to learn about more health things, and he's speaking on a subject of earthing. And I'm in the audience, and my wife says, you know, there's a chance you could talk to him today and see if he could help you with your heart at all.
Is this Steven Sinatra, right?
Yes, it is, yes. You
okay.
know who he is.
Yeah, he's the cardiologist.
Yes.
Okay.
So what happens is my wife says, we got to go downstairs to the lobby right now. He's down there. So we go down, and he has 100 people all around him. Can't get close to him. So I'm just hanging back, waiting for the opportunity. Because I learned one thing when I was in heaven. If God is going to make you meet somebody or do something, it happens. Like I asked to go on your show 3 days before the producer called me.
You planted the seed, didn't you?
Yes. And I knew I had to come on this show because what I learned is about consciousness, and your show is about consciousness.
Sure is.
And we need to know that how powerful we are, and people don't realize it. We may be human beings, but we have a powerful spirit about us, a powerful energy. And that's what I want people to understand. That, I mean, I worked with 20-something thousand people since I got hit by the car and different issues.
Do you still remember, Tommy, the moment that car hit you?
I don't remember being hit by the car. I don't remember a month before the accident. It's really amazing.
I hope they stopped. It wasn't a hit and run, was it?
It was, yeah.
Oh, did they ever catch the person?
No.
How could somebody do that? Just leave you in the road, die.
Well, the person told me that the car had no lights on, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and, but you know something? I believe all this was supposed to happen to me.
Unfortunately, yeah, but.
Yeah, I mean, my life has not been easy since the accident. I've been in pain. I've been suffering.
I was going to say, have you recovered physically?
I'm 90%. I'm not 100%. You know, I can do things, but. And
you may never be 100%.
But I'm not going to go climb mountains.
You probably weren't going to climb them before anyway.
Right. So I believe that I went through. And with meeting Dr. Sinatra was really amazing because my wife says to me, you're going to become friends, and we did. So this is how it happens with the meeting is. So I'm standing there waiting to see if he's going to be available. And all of a sudden, he screams out, does anyone have any serapeptase? Now, serapeptase it helps get rid of inflammation and bacteria.
All right, hold on for a second, Tommy. We're at the break, but we'll come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Tommy Rosa is with us. Okay, Tommy, so you were with Dr. Sinatra, and he's asking you what you needed?
He's asking for a serapeptase, and my wife that morning when we left to go there said, I want to pack it, and I told her, don't worry about it. I don't need it. I'm not using it right now. She says, oh, I'm supposed to take it. So she took it. And when we get there, no one had it but us out of 100 people. So when she runs to the room to get it, he asked me a question. How do you have serrapeptase? Well, I says, you know, I do some work with intuitive work about health, and I know it was really good to help me get my heart back to shape and my arteries. I said, oh, by the way, looking at you, you have a hip replacement, and you got an infection, a staph infection in your hip. And he screams out, how do you know that? And I said, Spirit just told me. And this is how we met. So here he is.
Interesting way to meet, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, any other doctor would think I was crazy, but he says, you know, something about this guy, because my hip was operated on, and no one knows that. How does he know that? And I'm thinking I have staph on my hip, too, because I had a procedure on my face a week ago. And then I just snapped my finger, and his pain went away.
Just like that.
Just like that. So that's how God works, and that's how we became connected. And the next night, he met me for dinner, and that was the story, how we connected. And then I had the book already started, the first 100 pages of my trip going to heaven, and he's come over and said to me, we're in. Let's do it. And it was so interesting because a couple of the revelations he was doing on earth. And I truly believe that God imprinted these revelations into him as a medical doctor to give the confirmation about what I learned in heaven.
Yeah, he's very holistic and everything else.
Yep, so that's how God works. I mean, he had a fear of death, which I helped him conquer it. And he really appreciates that. You know, when you see so much death around you, when you're a doctor, you get a little afraid maybe sometimes. But I explained to him that we really don't die. And getting back to the heaven story is that we have to realize that we're energy. And this is what I learned in heaven also, that each and every one of us is a frequency of God, which Raymond Rice talked about years ago, and no one really believed them. When he came up with a Rife machine,
mm-hmm.
and which is frequencies, right?
Hey, you've learned a lot.
Oh, I learned some. I can write 50 books. And I can sit down with a medical doctor, and I can tell him what's going on with the person's body, what caused the disease, not where it came from.
Is that because of the trip you took to the other side?
Oh, yeah. Huh?
It kind of like tuned you up or something.
Yep. So I have doctors calling me, asking questions about themselves.
Are you a healer, Tommy?
I was doing healing, but I stopped because it takes too much toll on you.
Yeah.
But I'm an intuitive spiritual counselor with, how would you say it? Intuitive.
Okay. Intuitive. Do you do any plumbing anymore, or it's all done?
No, for friends, sometimes. Dr. Sinatra, when I come to his house, I always fix something.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a great business and a dying art. You don't have a lot of plumbers these days.
No, and that's why I became a plumber, because I always knew there'd be a job for me.
This is my place in St. Louis. Those pipes go all the time. There are the old ones that I've had to replace with copper a little at a time. But the house was made in 1923, so that'll
tell
you.
They probably have lead.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hope not. I think it's iron.
Yeah, probably galvanized steel, too.
That's true.
That was popular.
So I'm sure you're not in a rush to get back to heaven, are you?
Not now, because now I know I have a job to do. And my job is to educate people on how to make themselves healthy. And it's not about living longer. It's not about, God doesn't tell us when we're going to die and live. We know that already. But what he wants these revelations out for is that to educate people on how we get sick. And this is really interesting. How do we get sick? Our immunizations when we're born give us toxins. They give us mercury. They give us metals. They give us the disease that they're giving us, right? And what the biggest issue is that we're given these shots at a too early age. So when the baby's born, the immune system really doesn't start to work for 6 to 9 weeks. And right away, they're putting these shots into the kids. That's why autism is so high today. And we need to get those shots spread out. You can't give a kid 3 or 4 shots at one sitting.
That's my argument, too. You know, you don't need to do the triple dose. Give it to them one at a time. At least minimize the problem.
Correct. And what people don't understand is that what I learned in heaven is when you have those shots and there's a weak immune system, let's say in your liver, you can later on in life get hepatitis C. Or it goes to the pancreas, you get diabetes. If it goes to the lungs, you'll get asthma. If it goes to the brain, you're going to have autism. So I really wish that the medical profession would slow down the shots. I mean, I understand that we need them, but not all at once. Give them in different groups and different ages to build up the immunity.
Paul, I bet you've learned a lot from Dr. Sinatra as well. I mean, the guy's very holistic. He is one of the top holistic doctors in you know, he's a real doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the real thing. So,
and when I read his book, I did all his supplements that we have in our book. Talks about the vital force. Now, this was another thing I learned, a revelation of what I kept telling Steve, and he said to me, Tommy, are you sure that's the word you used? And God told me it was mitochondria cells is what makes our body live or die, which is pretty interesting because people thought it was antioxidants for years, and they just came out with a study as the mitochondria cell 15 years later after I learned it myself, which is pretty interesting. And what that cell does is it keeps us living. And there's a thing called ATP that energizes the cells. And Sinatra's an expert on it. And what he came up with is a formula of CoQ10, L-carnitine, D-ribose, and magnesium. And what that does is increases the ATP, which makes the mitochondria cells healthier. And what the L-carnitine does, it helps detoxify the cell.
Is he into stem cells yet?
So, which is really interesting. And then a week on the program, my heart started feeling better. I don't know if anyone knows, but I had a heart injection fraction of 15%.
That's very low.
That's heart transplant time.
Yeah.
And now I have it up to 40.
That's almost like 50% is considered good, isn't
it? Yeah, 50% is normal, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on getting up to 49 to 50 by the next couple.
Well, good for months. You. Good.
But I know that we can fix ourselves. In time, things heal if we do the right nutrition. Now, our biggest problem today is that there's not enough nutrition in the food we eat. It starts from nutrition.
I know that. You're preaching to the choir on that one.
So we have to understand that we have to get backup supplements. And you have to get the right supplements. You can't get supplements that are from Walmart or Target. Those places, they don't really give good supplements. You need really good supplements, and you got to research it. Because we're starving. That's why there's so much obesity, because people have to eat so much more to get nutrition. And when that happens is they put weight on, but they're not really being healthy because they're not getting enough food.
Well, when you
vitamins and minerals.
When you were on the other side, did they try to give you a message? I mean, who was that person that you said you first met? Was that Jesus?
Yes.
Because it's kind of like it when you were describing what he looked like, it sounded like him.
Yeah, uh-huh. I didn't know who he was towards the end of the book because I kept it like I didn't really want to know who it was. I thought it was him, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to go back to my body.
Now, when you went back,
uh-huh,
how much pain were you in? To the point, I mean, you were in this state of bliss, in this heavenly state, and then you came back into your body. It's almost like being back in hell. Did you want to go back again?
George, I say to people every day, people ask me what hell looks like, and my answer to them is, we can make this hell every day if we want. I'd rather make it heaven. We don't realize that, by the way we think and do things.
Well, you can make this heaven.
Yeah.
Are you a believer?
So I came back, and I've got this excruciating pain in my head, but it's 2.5 times the size of what I was, and I have back pain. I can't move a muscle. I mean, there's pain everywhere, and they're giving me morphine, and I can't take the morphine because the morphine's making me hallucinate, and I said, you have to stop the morphine, and then I had pain for almost 2.5 years, and then I learned how to heal myself using frequencies and vibration. And that's how I got fixed.
Did you need to die to learn this?
Yes. Because all the information I learned, I never went to college. I was a plumber. But I have...
I got to tell you, being a plumber, you probably know more than most people who go to college.
Well, that's
school, the old school of hard knocks, let me tell you.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. The body is a plumbing system. It's got the veins and artery, which the water flows through, and has a sewer system through the digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is interesting.
Did you come back as a believer in heaven?
Yes.
Did you believe in heaven before you died?
I believed that there was a heaven, but I couldn't understand how it could be there. Like, there is a heaven, but what's it like, you know? When you get there and come back, I mean, I'm not afraid to die at all.
You know that old saying, Tommy, when you die, your loved ones who have passed on are always there to meet you. Did that happen for you?
I met my grandmother and my father when I was there. And then that's when I actually knew I was in heaven.
And what did they say to you? I mean, did they say, Tommy, go back? What did they say?
No one ever told me to make a choice to come and go. And how I went back was when I asked the question what God looked like, and he showed me what God looked like, then I went back into my body. And after I knew who he was, I asked who he was. He said, I'm Jesus the Christ. And then I asked him what God looked like, and then I was back in my body.
At any point, did he tell you to go back, or you did your own?
No. Nope, he just went right back myself. And I didn't even want to go back, to tell you the truth. I was thought I was going to be there forever. To my little joke on me, I guess, I was back in the body. And
Are you a believer that there's a hell?
I believe that hell is a lack of unconditional love of God. Because there's different layers in heaven. And the lowest level has very little God's love in it. And that I would constitute as a hell.
That's an interesting take on that.
Mm-hmm. And there's different levels, so the higher your divinity is, the closer you are to God and Christ.
Now, do you have a family? Are you married or anything
that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What does the wife say about what happened to you?
Well, very interesting. My wife was raised Jewish.
Okay.
And she had an experience that Jesus met her on the bench when she was younger.
Met her on the bench?
On a bench, a park bench, and it appeared to her. And she said to him, I don't know who you are. I know Moses. God. And that's how she got close to becoming with Jesus, too.
I mean, so does she understand this story? Does she think she doesn't think you're whacked out or anything like that?
Oh, no. That's how we met, matter of fact. She knew exactly what I felt, and she has a lot of intuition, too. She does spiritual counseling, too. So she can feel everything, and she felt the different vibration in my body, because my vibration in my body changed because of going to heaven, which is pretty interesting.
What do you tell people who are afraid of dying? Because that's one of the things you do.
Right. Well, I tell them, truthfully, we really don't die. The body is just a vessel to hold the spirit. And we come here with the body to experience if we're going to be heavy or thin, have gray hair or no gray hair. Because in heaven, everything's perfect. So we come here to experience this body, which has limitations. In heaven, there's no limitations, which I found was so interesting. And then people are signing these little boards to come back. They're writing their scrolls what they want to experience to come back. And I also was told this in heaven. It's not in the book, but that we have, human beings, have been paying off our karma. So this is our last incarnation. We're not coming back after this. So why there's so much sickness in the world is because people have to catch up with their karma.
Well, there's a lot of
cancer, more people getting sick.
Bitterness, hate, there's everything.
Yeah, so this is the time where we have to catch up, and that's why there's so much sickness.
We're with Tommy Rosa. The book is Health Revelations from Heaven and Earth. Now, you co-wrote that with Dr. Sinatra, right?
Yes.
Well, that's a good person to co-write a book with, that's for sure.
Yes. And he is the earth and I'm the heaven.
All right.
That's how we did it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I had the heaven experiences and the revelation I learned in heaven, he backs them up with the earth teachings.
Okay.
And how to apply them, which is really interesting.
Why do people have to die to learn things?
I think that we have near-death experiences, so people can come back with new knowledge to help the people that are here, the non-believers or people that have no faith.
Was there anything, Tommy, that scared you about the other side?
Not at all. No, not at all. And I realize this, that when we die, there is no pain. It's just unconditional love we're going through. And what that tunnel represents is that we're in a different dimension in heaven. Heaven's right here in front of us, but we can't see it because it vibrates differently. So the light, going through the tunnel of light, is what increases your vibration. So when you get to the other side, you're much more peaceful, and you can make the adjustment in the spiritual body, which I found was interesting.
At no point, though, did you see evil when you were out there?
I have not seen any evil when I was there at all.
That's
at
good. All. Maybe that's because it's you. I wonder if somebody else would see it.
I also met Archangel Michael when I was there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Archangel Michael, I have a nickname for him. I call him Pretty Boy.
You say that to his angel face?
Yeah, I did when I was there. I said, "You're so pretty." And he came out to me.
He's the warring archangel, isn't he?
Yes, he's the one for all the evil.
Yeah.
So he opens up his wings, and his wings are 12 feet wide, and he's almost 7.5 feet tall, he was. And he had a sword encrusted in the side.
That's him.
And he was so beautiful. His eyes emanated so much love, too. And he had so much love for Jesus, you can see it and feel it between the two of them. And I just met him for a couple of minutes, and he disappeared, too. And then I met my parents and my father after that.
I suspect Archangel Michael wanted to get you back to planet Earth.
I guess he did.
To do whatever you're doing now.
Yeah, I really believe that my job now is to educate people that there is a heaven, to remember that we don't die, and that we have... You can't rely on the medical profession to make you healthy today. We have to take charge of it ourselves.
Why is health so important on the other side?
I'll tell you why. Because when you have a higher vibration in your body, you have more divinity. And that's what you want. You want to have high divinity. So the healthier your body, the more divinity you have in yourself.
And is the effort to prolong your life here, is that what they want?
Well, it's not to prolong your life. It is to make your life more comfortable while you're here. I mean, I just buried my mom last week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
She had asthma for 30 years and emphysema. And she wanted to go 10 years ago. After my experience, she wanted to go because she saw how beautiful it was. And I saw her suffer for those last 10 years, where she couldn't eat and breathe after she had something to eat.
How old was she when she passed?
She was 84 years old, 9 months and 0 days.
That's a good run, though. It is a good run. We're going to come back and let's take some phone calls. And those of you who might have gone on to the other side, too, with a near-death experience, definitely share that with us.